Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Oh, yes, please. We wait until 1 o'clock to do the Tell Me Something Good. It's a thing that we like to share with you. Things that are positive. Things that are nice that are going on in your life. Things that you want to share with other people to try to give you an idea of all of those things. Oh, I thought I can get this to work. Let me try this again. You know, we have a new touchscreen. I want to see if this works. Oh, it kind of worked.
Yeah. It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Nice little open here. I got a couple of good things to share with you. And if you have something good that happened to you, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So the first story at KMOX.com, you can see this one on there now, as 1,700 East St. Louis students were able to go visit Santa. And nice field trip for these kids. They get out of school. They hop on a bus. They all got a bag. It looks like they got a sack on them or something. Like, it's like a, you know, they're shoving it over the shoulder and they're carrying, I don't know what's in it. Are they toys? Are they, is it like a book bag or something? I can't quite tell in this picture, but it almost looks like just a regular shopping bag. And hundreds of East St. Louis students got to meet Santa and Mrs. Claus in the morning as part of a 25-year relationship with Casino Queen. East St. Louis chief of school teacher said she was first began bringing students to the Toyland event. The gift bags included blanket, socks, gloves, and school supplies. Okay, so I guess those are the gift bags that they get once they get there. Then some fun things, animal crackers, puzzles. Never really considered animal crackers a fun thing. I guess it could kind of be fun. Oh, you're going to play. Oh, I'm going to bite your head out. Ah! Okay, fun for 3 minutes. It does taste good. I mean, you give them that. About 1,700 pre-kindergarten through second grade students filled up the buses to see Santa, and more than 45,000 students have passed through the Toyland event since it started more than two decades ago. You can see that story at KMOX.com. Wow, 45,000 students. What a cool thing. My experience in school was in third grade, a teacher said, every year you're allowed one fun field trip. That's what they said. And then when I got older, I found out that's not a thing. It was just the teacher was nice to us. We're one fun field trip. They were just nice. And then they cut it out. Apparently, she got in trouble for doing it because they stopped doing it. Aw. I like the idea of a fun field trip. Here's another story. You could find this one about today. There was a lot of recruitment announcements today. And as the recruitment announcement started to pile in, and if you're a college football fan or a basketball fan or whatever it is, you know, the recruitment day is a big day. You want to see who the new upcoming great players are. And they always rank them like five-star players. Oh, this is going to be so great. This person's going to be awesome for this program. Yeah, you know how that works. It's all fun and games those signing days because you want to get as many of those great potential players as possible. When Cooper Dawson finally decided which college he would sign with, the senior defensive lineman from South Carolina had a friend with him to make the announcement too. Kingsley Feinman is the friend's name. It was a moment to remember because Feinman was born with cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair. He said he's going to Syracuse. He said with a big smile. The room started applauding. Both wore orange hats, the Syracuse color, for the special occasion. Dawson, from a Havana high school in Charleston, chose Syracuse over Clemson, Central Florida, Vanderbilt, among others. He said he knew Feinman was going to be part of the process as soon as the process began. They had a special bond. The two of them were born during Dawson's freshman year in high school and become stronger since. Oh, the bond was born between the two of them, but... Isn't that kind of cool? That's a big day for the recruit. they look at it as this is going to be one of the most important decisions of my life. Where am I going to play football? Because this will be the moment where if I get onto a good program, oh, I can get into the NFL and oh, I'll make millions and all things will be great. And oh, I'll be in a great school and I'll be able to study. I'll be able to do this. And, you know, this is the moment that they are going to bask in the glory of the announcement because they can put the hat on and get national attention. And people want to see who they are, and they'll make the local news. And the news, your grandma will clip the clippings in the newspaper and show all her friends. And this is supposed to be a moment for you. But instead, this young recruit, Cooper Dawson, decided to share that moment. He wanted to make it about something else. He wanted to make sure that there was more to the announcement than just him. And he wanted to make it special for a friend of his. Friend who just happens to be in a wheelchair working through cerebral palsy. Now, if you want to see that story, it's a great one. You can find it online. Just do a quick search for Cooper Dawson. A lot of the sports websites are posting that one up. This is from the Associated Press is where I was looking at it. Pretty cool thing. All right, if you got something else you'd like to share, something positive, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you... missed this interview from earlier. We're going to talk to Harry Campbell, the rideshare guy. He is someone that is writing a blog, and he talks about ride-sharing experiences, which is the Lyfts and the Ubers of the world. And he's got a couple of things to say leading into one of their busiest times, which is the end of the year, Christmas and New Year, where everyone's demanding rides. He has some thoughts and wanted to share a few things from his experiences. A couple of local stories I want to get to. That tiny home that was stolen, found. Hey, congratulations. Kind of, yeah. Incoming Senator Josh Hawley getting his committee assignments. And the accused librarian killer in California has actual roots here in St. Louis. So we're going to get to all of these things coming up on Overnight America, Camo X.
Hi, this is Paul Goldschmidt wishing happy holidays to Cardinals Nation on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Happy holidays from KMOX.
Wow, Paul Goldschmidt already recording liners for KMOX? Man, he is like on top of it. He's here for what, one day? And he's already talking to local media and recording liners for the Voice of St. Louis. That is pretty neat. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Feels good to say the Voice of St. Louis. I should say that more often. Let me get to Doug real quick. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Yeah, just listening back to the phone call you had last week when we were taking the calls for the holiday Christmas night special I'm going to be airing. So you will be the very last call that I air as part of the special. So you're the last one in. I was doing it almost chronological order from the calls we took. So you're going to air basically on the morning of the 26th through the overnight. Yeah.
Cool. I'll be up.
How about that? It's a nice special. Some really great memories shared there. So what's going on?
Well, I wanted to let you know, I told you I'd give you a call about our Christmas show tonight that we had with the seniors out there.
Oh, yeah. How did it go?
It went really, really great, man. Really great. Those folks are really into it, man.
Didn't you say someone played harmonica or was going to?
Yes, she did.
How'd it go?
And she nailed it.
Ah, good.
Yeah, yeah, she was, she's our 100-year-old
harmonica player,
member. Yeah, and she played Silent Night, and we all sang it.
Oh, wow.
That was her.
Okay. So she actually performed Silent Night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And then right before she did that, we had another member of our group, and she's 92, and she sang Oh Holy Night.
Wow. Doesn't it take a lot of lung capacity to play Silent Night on the harmonica?
Yes, it does.
And she 100 years old, she's able to perform that. That's remarkable.
Isn't that amazing?
It's something you got to see for yourself almost.
Tell you what else is amazing is these people actually, when we started the show, they processed down the aisle and sang Joy to the World.
Wow. How many people?
The group was right around 12 or 13 tonight. Yeah, we had a nice big audience, of course. But
That's great.
The cool thing is, you know, like I said, these people processed down the aisle and did this. And these people, some are walking down with walkers and, you know, whatever it takes, right?
Of course.
They were determined, man. They were determined. They were holding little battery-operated candles and the whole nine yards. I mean, they did it.
Well, how about that? Did you have fun?
Oh yeah, I had a ball. I'm worn out because I'm the one that I had to set up all the audio and the lighting and everything to run it. You know.
Wait, you set up everything, lighting too?
Yeah, we have. I was able to come across this really, really good set of light bars, and they're LED light bars, and they're wireless,
mm-hmm.
And they have rechargeable batteries in them.
Yeah,
which is great because when you put them up, you don't have any cables hanging or.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Really nice.
Make it a lot easier for you. I've seen those things. They're like these little floodlight deals, in almost.
Well, these are each bar has five LEDs in it, and. They work real well. We've used them on gigs before. Donna and I have used them, and they work really nice because you can program them any way you want. My next purchase will be a wireless controller, so I can actually control them from ground, but which would be nice.
Fancy.
Right now, I just set them to a certain setting and I let them go.
Real fancy.
Oh yeah, well it's cool. I mean I've got. Other friends that I call upon for these kind of things. And this one guy I know, I've known for a long time, he's the one that turned me on to this and sent me the link to the website and the whole thing. And I went and got them. They had them on sale when I got them. So I got them for a really good price.
Nice. All right. Well, that's positive. That's a good thing.
Oh yeah. It was a real good thing. It's all I can say is music is really important.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's very, very important. Yeah. I tell you, music by itself. It adds so much more to a person's life. And I've seen the videos online where mm-hmm. once you go to some person that, might have some issues, once they hear a song they remember growing up, it's night and day difference in the way that their body is able to react and their mind is stimulated and it brings them right back to it. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. I'll tell you something else that really blew me away was there was one lady tonight after this thing was over, she said to me, she said, "Do you know this is the first time in my life I ever sang in public?"
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. You got to get past those.
She told me I was so scared. I said, "There's nothing to be scared of, honey. You just get up there and do it." You know? And that's, I told everybody in the group, I said, the hardest part of this program for you is walking down that aisle and sitting in the place you're supposed to sit. That's the hardest part of your show.
Yeah, you can just use me as an example and tell them there's someone that's about 10 times worse than you on the radio that does it. So I wouldn't be too embarrassed if I were you.
No, yeah, exactly.
All right, Doug, good to hear from you. I'm glad you checked in. Thanks for that.
You bet, man. Merry Christmas one more time.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Good night.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. Let me get to Vivian real quick, who's calling in. Hey, Vivian, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan. I called to to wish you a Merry Christmas.
A happy Merry Christmas. I'll take it.
I mean to say happy. I mean a wish.
So you're going to perform? You're going to do a song for us?
Yeah. Oh. Remember I told you I was going to call and sing one night?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Remember?
Okay. I'm ready for it. I want to hear it.
Are you ready? I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings I bring to you and your queen. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right. Oh, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. You did such a great job. Were you nervous?
A little bit.
I wouldn't be too nervous. You sound great.
Thank you.
Did you practice that today?
Off and on. I live by myself, so I'm always singing through the house.
So you don't really have much of an audience, so this was a good opportunity for you to test it out.
Yeah, and then yesterday was my granddaughter's birthday, and so we had a little function for her, and I sang happy birthday to her, and so everybody laughed.
Uh-huh, wonderful.
I was in the mood.
Vivian, so cool. I'm glad you decided to do that and got the courage to call in and do it, too.
Okay.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much.
To you also.
Have a great night. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Aw, that was a nice wish you Merry Christmas. Aw. Aw, you feel the love. You got to feel the love. 50,000 watts of love. All right. I had a couple of local stories I wanted to share with you. Actually, there's one good one here on the top. the tiny house that was stolen. We were talking about this over the weekend. They've been trying to find this thing, and people all over the place had these sightings like it's Jimmy Hoffa. So the house, apparently, since it made national news, you know, this one woman spent, what, 2 years building this thing, $20,000, working and working and working. Tiny homes are pretty popular right now. There's a lot of people building these things, and they use it as a way to say, oh, we're downsizing. We don't need all the space. Who needs a 2,000-square-foot home when you can just have a 200-square-foot home? Yeah, 200. Who needs the convenience of indoor plumbing when you can just have a bucket and some pine leaves? You know, who needs king-size beds when you can have, you get the idea, right? So some people prefer that. I know that it's not my thing, but they say it's a way to help the environment. You don't have to live in this big space. You can live basically to do whatever you want in life. You can live off your house and, you know, basically just find ways to get food. And, hey, that shelter will take care of itself over the years. You don't forget about the maintenance and things, but, you get to live your life. If you want to go read a book all day, you can. You don't have to worry about having that job and the pressures of it when you have your house paid for and blah, 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 you know. So there's all those arguments. She builds this thing, and she's looking forward to the day she can move into this, and then someone steals it. So the tiny homes, by nature, are easily able to be stolen because they build them on these trailer beds with the wheels and everything still attached to these things. So if you don't have it properly locked up or secured, you just some dude with a trailer hitch can pop up and drive away with this thing. It's the same thing as people that have these enclosed trailers, and sometimes they keep them on pieces of property, and they have a lot of expensive equipment inside, and it's as easy as someone pulling up with a trailer sometimes. You know, if it's not locked properly, or someone could pick the lock or break the lock and gone. Yeah, it's not great by any means. So this $20,000 trailer, this tiny home, was found in House Springs, Missouri this morning. And they were trying to find the person that owned the trailer and get reunited. In fact, I think KMOV had a video of it being reunited with its owner. Josh Hawley making an appearance tonight on Tucker Carlson's program. He was also announced what he'll be doing. He'll be serving when he becomes a senator. So he'll serve on the Judiciary, Armed Service, and Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committees. And will also take office in the next month because that's when swearing in happens. Hawley says the assignments mean Missouri will have a strong representation in some of the most important debates we will have as a nation, which is good. He will also serve on the Committee on Small Business and also the Special Committee on Aging. He's a young guy. Throw him on the aging committee? Maybe it's better. They'll look at him. How about this last one? You know, the funny thing is part of the Claire McCaskill pitch to vote for her and not for Josh Hawley was because, oh, he's going to take away all your old people medications and things. They tried to play that card. Oh, they're going to drop you all from Medicare, Medicaid, whatever the argument was, you know. So now he's going to be put on the committee for aging. So that's kind of an ironic thing, I guess. One last thing. In California, authorities have charged a man in the killing of a librarian. And I don't know if this is anything that's, I guess the only silver lining in this is what he moved out of the St. Louis area. When his mugshot got up, 56-year-old Ronald Say, people started recognizing him here around St. Louis. Apparently, he was repeatedly thrown out of libraries throughout the St. Louis area earlier this year after causing disturbances. Sacramento Bee reporting this. Barred from at least two St. Louis area libraries. Let's see. In Ferguson, he's accused of issuing threats because he believed the staff stole his wallet. In Brentwood, he took a puppy with him in the library and refused to leave. Brentwood police chief says that Say was clearly showing a pattern. Scary stuff. So he finds his way out to California, starts here at in the year in St. Louis, moves his way out to California. Now he is charged with killing a librarian, the librarian killer. Yikes, that's scary. If you're working at a library, I know you see a lot of different people come in. Hopefully you don't see too many people threatening like this guy. But if you do, you don't put up with it. I mean, it's best you say, hey, it's time for you to go and we're calling cops because you never know. And to me, that's scary. Guy comes in and starts being threatening to you. That's not necessary. In fact, that's completely unnecessary. All right, so I want to talk to Harry Campbell, the rideshare guy, coming up. If you're thinking about using Lyft or Uber in the next week, or maybe you have family members and it's easier for them to just get a ride from the airport out or whatever it is, or get around that way, or maybe you want to travel on New Year's Eve because, you know, you're going out and you don't want to drive or whatever. I know there's those options for you. What are the things you can do with the rideshare this time of year? Or maybe you're thinking about driving, earn a couple extra dollars. I mean, you could do that too. He has a blog, The Rideshare Guy. We'll talk to him about that coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Let's
go Blues! Hey, Blues fans, Joey Vitale here. Stay up late tonight and get your Blues hockey fix as the Blues are out in Vancouver to take on the Vancouver Canucks later on tonight. The pregame show is at 8:30 and the faceoff is at 9 tonight on your home for St. Louis Blues Hockey, KMOX. Let's go!
Joining us now is the rideshare guy himself in the rideshare guide, which you can check out. Still time to get that before Christmas. Harry Campbell, thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks for having me on, Ryan. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is the time of year we have a lot of people traveling. They go to foreign cities. They may be flying in, not driving in, and they don't necessarily want to rent a car because that can get very expensive. You know, next thing you know, you pop on one of those rental car sites, and it's, you know, it says $25, and by the time you check out, it's like $50 a day, and you're thinking, oh, that's too much money. I'm only going to be parking it and then leaving. I don't want to spend a couple $100 just for a ride. So these ride shares have become incredibly popular around the holiday season, and you talk about this, you talk about this surge that happens during the holiday season, and I kind of wanted to talk to you about that on both ends, one as a consumer and as one as there is a demand for that sort of thing, and some people may be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely. So I think you hit the nail on the head on the consumer side. I don't even remember the last time I rented a car when traveling, just because rideshare services are so much more convenient, but also cheaper. So I think for a lot of travelers this holiday season, most of them, if not many, are defaulting to rideshare, and you can save some money, but also just kind of make your life a little bit easier getting around. And, you know, I know that Lyft actually announced that they just did their 1 billionth ride a few months ago. So it seems like even though I've been driving for Uber and Lyft since 2014, you know, more and more people are taking these services and more rides are happening every single day.
More and more. Are there statistics somewhere? Can I tell what kind of usage in St. Louis, Missouri there is when it comes to ride shares?
You know, Uber and Lyft don't release a ton of specific statistics, but I think for the most part, there are a few cities that you can look to, like New York City. They kind of legally have to release a lot of data there, so you can see just how many cars are on the road. You know, so for example, there's 13,000 taxi medallions, but there's over 100,000 rideshare vehicles. And so I think those sort of patterns happen in, you know, pretty much every city. So depending on what you're looking for, there may not be specific data, but you can probably get a little bit of insight.
I had no idea. There's 100,000 people eligible to do ride sharing in New York.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest, you know, sort of markets for ride sharing. But, you know, in pretty much every other city, those kind of numbers hold true. I mean, I think we've seen taxis, you know, they're still around, but ride share services have not only taken a lot of the market share from them, but they've also grown the market share. And I've kind of experienced that myself as a driver. You know, when you talk to people, especially around this time of year, you know, everyone's heading to holiday parties. It seems like people are, you know, active and out and about a lot more than maybe they would have in the past, just because they didn't have a way to get around. So that's another kind of cool side benefit of being a driver, is not only are you making money, especially around the holidays, but you're also providing kind of a cool service. If people are out drinking and you're getting them safely home, that definitely feels good at the end of the night.
Is this mostly a 2-gig type of deal? Like Lyft and Uber, are they really the only two in the game right now?
Yeah, I think in the rideshare services, they're the two biggest names. I mean, typically, you know, a lot of drivers do work for both services, but I've found that, you know, we've surveyed over 1,000 drivers on our site every year. We've typically found that most drivers actually prefer driving for Lyft, and I think the reason for that is that the company has a little bit more of a driver-centric culture. You know, for example, on New Year's Eve, the CEO of Lyft, John Zimmer, has actually been driving for the company, so he goes out and drives for Lyft every single New Year's Eve for the past 6 years. So that's kind of a cool feeling, you know, knowing that you're out there on New Year's Eve and the CEO is also out there giving rides. And Lyft was the first service to offer tipping in the app. So passengers, I think, are, I find that, you know, when I'm driving for both, I get a lot more tips on the Lyft app, which is a nice thing around the holidays. I think passengers are a lot more generous too around the holidays. Oh, wow. So that's a nice thing. I know Lyft actually handed out over $30 million to drivers. I guess I should say Lyft passengers handed out $30 million to drivers last December. So looking forward to, you know, bigger and better numbers this year.
All right. So you're the CEO of Lyft. What type of car does he pull up with? Because it's got to be a nice one.
You know what? I actually think that he's a pretty grounded guy, and you know, I bet he drives something like a Toyota Prius or a four-door sedan with really good gas mileage, because, you know, that's really, you know, ultimately as a driver, you are responsible for your own expenses, so you do want to think about gas and maintenance, and, you know, the best car is probably something like a Toyota Prius if you're putting a lot of miles or if you're just a part-time driver, something that gets good gas mileage but is a four-door sedan, you know, maybe 2 to 3 years old and, you know, very reliable.
What was your first experience with a ride share, your very first ride?
As a driver?
I would say as a consumer. And I don't know, have you been a driver as well?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, so I started taking Uber and Lyft a long time ago, probably in 2013. And, you know, I started driving for both services in 2014. So I guess I've seen it from both sides. And that's actually, you know, kind of one of my number one piece of advice for new drivers is to go out and take a ride as a passenger, because you learn a lot about the app and how the system works. And almost calling for a ride is kind of similar to what it's like to give a ride as a driver. And I know my first experience as a passenger, I mean, I don't remember the specific night or anything like that, but it was in my younger days, so I'm sure we were headed to a bar or headed out and about. And, you know, once I started driving for the services, since I was working full-time, and, you know, even today I run my blog and my business full-time, so I still drive on the side, and I kind of always use driving as that part-time gig, something that, you know, I'm sitting at home staring at a computer screen all day, so it's nice to get out there and talk to other people. And that's one of the cool things about driving rideshare is that everyone has their own reasons for doing it, but typically pay and kind of the unmatched flexibility are the two main reasons why people do it. And I think especially around the holidays, that flexibility can really come in handy.
Expert rideshare driver Harry Campbell joining us on KMOX, the rideshare guy. So let's say someone is interested in learning about this. Maybe they want to just have the flexibility of make a couple bucks here and there when they have some free time. How does one even get involved with one of these companies, and what can you expect to earn?
Yeah, so I think that's actually a good question, and that's typically what the first thing people ask me. And so we surveyed, like I said, we surveyed over 1,000 drivers last year, and they reported earning around $15 to $20 an hour before expenses. So that can definitely vary depending on the city you're in. So if you're in a bigger city like a San Francisco or LA where there's more demand, you might be able to make a little bit more. In the smaller to medium-sized cities, you won't be able to make as much. But it also depends on the times and places you drive. Typically, Friday and Saturday night, we call those the party hours. Right? Everyone's out and about. They're drinking. You might see some primetime pricing, some elevated pricing, which, you know, passengers have to pay more for. But the nice thing for drivers is that they make more. So if you're willing to kind of drive those Friday, Saturday nights, the busy nights, New Year's Eve is the busiest night of the year for Lyft. If you're willing to drive New Year's Eve, not only are you going to save money by not, you know, going out and partying, but you'll actually make money. So it could be a nice little swing there. But for the most part, you know, kind of fitting it into your schedule, those are kind of the expectations I would go in with. And, you know, kind of what you might be able to earn.
But what would be a typical, like, Saturday night, let's say a busy area like St. Louis, it's a, you know, pretty large metropolitan
sure.
area. I know it'd be different depending on what city you're, you know, if you're in St. Louis or Kansas City, or, you know, you look at a Los Angeles or a Chicago or New York. So let's say one of these larger cities you're in, if you decide to sign up for this and you are getting clients wanting you to pick them up. So what would like a typical earning night be on a busy night?
Yeah, so I mean, I would probably recommend for someone that's getting started to head out around 7 or 8 p.m. and drive until 2 or 3 a.m. You know, that's going to be about 7 to 8 hours. And if you're making at least $20 an hour, you might make $160. So, you know, I think that's typically the range. And it is important to kind of set expectations, because I'm sure that some drivers may hear from, you know, a driver in a certain area or, you know, someone in the past who, you know, maybe says, oh, I can make, you know, tons of money. But I think that realistic expectations, you know, it's not going to make you rich, but I think it is, it does provide a ton of flexibility. And so with the holidays, for example, you know, I know that I had to do some Christmas shopping the other day. And before I went out, I went and did a night of driving, made about $75. And then the next day, I did some shopping. You can actually cash out your pay instantly. Lyft has a feature called Express Pay. So you can go out and do a night of driving. Let's say you make $150, you make $75, whatever the amount is. You can cash it out instantly to your debit card, and that money is in your bank account within 20 to 30 minutes. So it's a cool little financial tool if you use it that way, too.
Oh, cool. Joining us now is rideshare expert Harry Campbell, the rideshare guy. And did you see the story out of St. Louis here last summer where there was a person that was live streaming his rideshare guest, got in some trouble for doing it?
I did see that story. It was quite the news.
Yes, it was. The guy going around concealing this thing. And what was your initial thoughts when you heard about that and really the privacy? What's the expectations of privacy when you have one of these rides? And what's really the etiquette of what you should adhere to if you are going out and considering doing this?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's an important distinction because there's obviously the legal aspect. And I think in certain states, legally, you actually are allowed to record people without their consent. In other states like California, you need to put up a sticker. So me, myself as a driver, I have a dash cam in my car. I'm not live streaming, but I use it for sort of insurance purposes and even just sometimes to prevent bad behavior. If customers know that they're on camera, it can definitely, make sure that they're on their best behavior. I also have a little window sticker, though, that says you're being recorded. And so I think that first and foremost, you kind of want to follow the legal rules in your state or in your city. But from there, I think from an etiquette and sort of just, you know, the right thing to do, I personally would never be comfortable with recording someone, you know, without telling them and live streaming it, even whether it's legal or not. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And I know that the companies probably came down pretty hard on this driver who was doing just that, because I think one thing I found as a driver is it's an intimate space when your passenger gets into the car. Sometimes I joke that I'm a therapist because passengers will get in, they'll really open up to you. And for me, it's a nice experience being able to be that sounding board, provide that feedback. And I would never, you know, kind of want to lose their trust and live stream it or anything like that, without their permission.
Yeah. All right. So if people are interested in reading your blog or really they just have any other questions and they want to find out more, where can they find you?
Yeah, definitely. So I would head to theRideshareGuy.com, and then we did just release a new book called The Rideshare Guide, which probably is a great Christmas present for anyone, interested in the industry or already driving. And I think that, you know, definitely this job is not rocket science, but sometimes it's a little more complex than it looks. It is kind of a combination of customer service, safe driving, and also running your own business. So I think with a little extra effort, you know, a lot of drivers can be very successful and kind of take advantage of all the benefits of being a rideshare driver.
Yeah, the grandparents listening right now, if you got that grandkid that's playing Fortnite all the time or Red Dead Redemption on the PlayStation, get them this book and say, get out there and earn some money, kid. This would be a great Christmas stocking gift. You could give it to the grandkid right there, encourage them to go out and make some money. That'd be a great way to do it. The Rideshare Guy, therideshareguy.com, rideshare expert Harry Campbell. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric Gas Line. On Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Got a couple of more stories to get to here before we get to 1 o'clock. And if you missed it at the very start of the show, we had Dr. Richard Caste on. And one of the nice things about him in the revelations about how dangerous it is to live in a corporate world, because you're always going to be under constant threat of being hacked. Oh, my goodness. And then the espionage and all of this. He's got a lot into his insights of what the corporate world's like now and what they need to do to combat this world we live in where there's cyber terrorists out there. So we're going to spend a full hour with him. Really getting into it, because it's even deeper than corporations. It even goes to the U.S. government. I learned from him that China started popping up these aircrafts and the United States started saying, that looks an awful lot like our aircraft, which led us to believe they stole our blueprints and started building their own version of it over in China. And it's just the way it is. China's a big perpetrator of that sort of thing. So we're going to be joined by the doctor in the next hour, and we'll talk about how that has become one of the biggest threats for companies anymore. You heard in CBS News, and you can find this online too. It's just really troubling what's going on in Illinois. A new report from the Illinois Attorney General accuses the Roman Catholic leaders of failing to repeat or follow up on or report hundreds of cases of sex abuse allegations. WBBM reporting this.
The six dioceses corroborate 185 accusations, but Attorney General Lisa Madigan says the church held back in more than 500 additional cases. Attorney Bill Kunkel speaks for the Archdiocese of Chicago and says it has complied fully for 15 years.
Back in 2002, we even met with the state's attorneys in Cook County and Lake County and reported all the allegations that were historical that we had received up till that point.
Madigan says every case deserves full investigation, even if the priest accused is dead or removed for other reasons.
Absolutely.
Bob Roberts for CBS News, Chicago.
Yeah, that's Bob Roberts. That's absolutely agree to that. So the story that was posted up on the Post-Dispatch, and they did a write-up on this. This is just on the across the border in Illinois. Church officials reported 185. The state of Illinois starts to do their own investigation. They find upwards of 500 more priests or clergy that did not find themselves on that list that were handed over. And this is the line of the story that really concerns me. Church officials said they did not investigate allegations because the accused priest or clergy member was dead or had already resigned at the time they received the allegation of abuse. So they have documents, they have allegations, and of course, it says that they did not investigate, meaning there had to have been a report or some sort of objection that came up, but then they made the effort not to investigate. And even in cases where the priest had already resigned. Now, that to me says a lot. The Catholic Church has a long way to go. They, in here in Missouri, they better learn from the mistake of Illinois here as they're trying to compile all of their documents to hand over. And they say, oh, we're going to do it with transparency and we're going to hand over everything that we got and we'll let the state investigation do its thing. They better learn from Illinois really quick. So if they try to pull this garbage here in Missouri, it ain't going to fly because the investigation is going to continue with the help of the church or not. This is, you know, the Catholic Church needs to do the right thing and they have to put some closure into this. And if it's true, then the attorney general over in Illinois, if this is true and they found all these other additional cases in the defense of the church is that, well, the members were dead, so we decided not to do anything with it. Oh, well, they resigned, so we thought it was a done deal. No, that to me shows the church was trying to protect these priests from any sort of legal obligation or any sort of punishment that would come from the law. And hiding this sort of thing or protecting people that have committed sexual crimes and then as part of an investigation, taking that information and not disclosing it because you thought it wasn't relevant because they weren't serving anymore, that's like a double whammy, man. That's a double whammy. So the Attorney General's office in Illinois is still asking if anyone has allegations they want to bring up as part of this investigation. They set up a hotline and they set up an email address. It says Madigan's office received more than 300 phone calls, emails, and mails lettered since opening a clergy abuse hotline in August. It's an 888 number. I'll just give it to you real quick. 1-888-414-7678. I'm really hoping this is not the policy of the Catholic Church as a whole. As we read in Pennsylvania, there were some pretty horrific things that were popping up there. Horrific stories of, I mean, corruption on the government level, where there's some of these reports would go to law enforcement and they were afraid of the political ramifications because they're running for sheriff and they would hide these things and protect these things. The church holding out the clock and, you know, just trying to push things out so it would be past the statute of limitations. I don't know why we're still not talking about the legislation and the idea of trying to drop some of these statute of limitations for some of these sex abuse victims who never actually had their day of justice, where they put these things up and it was sandbag, sandbag, sandbag. And then eventually they lost their ability to have any legal recourse against people that abused them. They never actually had their day. And in Pennsylvania, we see even in the Pittsburgh diocese, terrible cases going on. And like, how about this one? Let's look over in California. Pope Francis has accepted the resignation of the Los Angeles Auxiliary Bishop, Monsignor Alexander Salazar, following an allegation of misconduct with a child in the 1990s. Vatican announced the resignation in a one-line statement. Police recommended in 2002 that Salazar be charged with committing a lewd act on a child, but prosecutors declined to bring charges. And it goes to show you that there, when there is power in some sort of thing, sometimes they can influence those things. Current Archbishop, Archbishop of Los Angeles said the Archdiocese learned of the claim in 2005. Why is it taking that long for this person to step down then? 2005 you sat on this? The alleged misconduct occurred while he was a parish priest in the 1990s. And here's a quote. It takes 13 years for the LA Catholic officials to disclose this allegation, and even now, they withhold key details about when they and the Vatican looked at it and purposely took precautionary measures against Salazar, which is, of course, have really stopped more clergy sex crimes. They got to do the right thing. This ducking and weaving stuff, they got to do the right thing. I hope they do. I really do. This is just depressing. 500 more clergy not disclosed. I'm sure you'll see more of that, and CBS has been covering it at the top of the hour. And you can also go to camox.com for more. All right, don't forget, you can also download the podcast here. If you haven't actually seen us digitally, you should. It's pretty nice. In fact, I won't scare you on the digital standpoint, but if you have a smartphone, just go to your favorite podcast app and search for Overnight America. Subscribe to it. Give us a nice rating. You know, we're always looking for nice ratings. That really helps people find this program. That's the way to do it. Just search Overnight America on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.